Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be Bing Crosby as a vocalist with the Gus Arnheim Orchestra. Bing had joined the Paul Whiteman Orchestra in December of 1926 and was with Whiteman until the middle of 1930. There he made many recordings that included Bix. Let me first read to you something about Gus Arnheim. This is from the Complete Encyclopedia of Popular Music and Jazz, 1900-1950, by Roger D. Kinkle. Born September 11, 1897, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Died January 19, 1955, Los Angeles, California. Band leader of 20s and 30s, based on West Coast. Early job as pianist in Abe Lyman Band 1921-1923 at Coconut Grove in Los Angeles, played other jobs, composed several popular songs, most famous I Cried for You 1923, followed by Mandalay and In the Land of Shady Palm Trees 1924. Popular songs of early 30s were It Must Be True 1930, Sweet and Lovely, and I'm Gonna Get You 1931. Formed own band in late 20s, toured U.S. and Europe, played theaters, club, ballrooms, appeared in 1929 film The Street Girl. Long runs at Coconut Grove, popular spot with film celebrities. Future singing star Ross Colombo in Arnheim Band 1929-1931. In early 1931, Bing Crosby's career as single received first boost when Bing and Rhythm Boys sang and recorded with band. Singer Donald Novice worked with band, and future band leader Jimmy Grier was Saxman arranger. At this time, Arnheim Band had tightly knit sound and light swinging distinctive arrangements. Received nationwide attention late 1931 on Lucky Strike radio show, which featured magic carpet remotes of bands from dance band spots across U.S. Band scores with popular 1931 record Sweet and Lovely. By mid-1930s, developed into typical hotel-style group, toured, appeared on Bing Crosby radio show 1934, clarinet stars Woody Herman, Joe Dixon, Irving Fazola worked with Arnheim at different times. In 1936, Arnheim developed excellent swing-style band with smooth, fluid sax section, biting brass. Bud Johnson of Earl Hines' band did most of arrangement. In 1937, pianist Stan Kenton joined, did some arranging. Good vocalist Jimmy Farrell featured during this period. Arnheim led the band into mid-40s in various spots on West Coast, retired from band business several years, but came back in 1954 to lead small band on West Coast TV show for a time. Okay, now, let me read also from the Bing Crosby Museum, and this is from the diary. It says, July 15th, 1930, gala opening at the Hotel Ambassadors Coconut Grove as Gust Arnheim returns to the venue. Bing becomes a singing sensation when the Rhythm Boys are featured with the Arnheim Orchestra at $100 each week. Bing develops his mastery of the microphone and his solos steal the show. Nightly two-hour radio broadcast from the Grove on station KNX between 10 p.m. and midnight increased Bing's fame in California during his 10th-month stint at the Grove. Performances at the Coconut Grove are nightly and at Saturday tees. Star Night is Tuesdays and College Night is Fridays. Let's get started with the music. The first recording session of Bing with Gus Arnheim was on October 29, 1930. The band consisted of Walter Holzhaus on trumpet, Stanley Green on trumpet also, Marlo Imes and another trombone, Tom Sandvell and an unknown on clarinet and alto sax, Fred McMurray, who later on became well known as an actor, was on clarinet and tenor sax, Ross Colombo, violin and vocal. There was an unknown second violin, Gus Arnheim on piano, Celeste, he's the leader, Nelson Hall on banjo guitar and sometimes vocals also, Ed Landry on brass bass, Art Fleming on drums. This is the composition of the band in March 1930, and according to Rost, the band that recorded with Bing on October 29, 1930 was basically the same. Okay, the first tune that I want to play is It Must Be True, and it is from the first recording session, October 29, 1930. Vocal is by Bing Crosby. And I will follow that with Them, Their Eyes, recorded on November 20, 1930. And this has the Rhythm Boys on the vocal, Bing Crosby, Al Rinker, and Harry Barris. So, let's listen then to Bing Crosby and the Rhythm Boys with the Gus Arnheim Orchestra in 1930.
A moment's bliss we took to talk of love. Beneath the stars above I held your hand, and then I whispered, dear, I love you, I love you. Or was it just a dream, an idle scheme of mine to fool my heart? And yet it seemed divine, it must be true. I was with you and you are mine, all mine. Was it just a dream, an idle scheme of mine to fool my heart? And yet it seemed divine, it must be true. I was with you and you are mine, all mine. We'll be right back.
next two selections are also from the earliest sessions that Bing had with the Gus Arnheim Orchestra. First tune I want to play now is For Me Some More from that October 29, 1930 session. And then from November 25, 1930, the second attempt, and this time successfully, of recording The Little Things in Life. So let's listen then to Bing Crosby in 1930 with the Gus Arnheim Orchestra.
Kinda like it, taking you back, so you can fool me some more. I only look for roses when in season. Ah, but you're a rose that comes and goes without a reason. I make my mind up, I'm just a fool, someday I'll even the score. Only to wind up breaking the rule, so you can fool me some more. or two can more than do a little man and wife. That's if they're contented with the little things in life. Living on a larger scale would soon entail a lot of care and strife. We could be so happy with the little things in life, dear. A little rain, a little sun, a little work, a little fun, a little time for loving when the day is done. And a little thing that cries for lullabies could make a man and wife. Tell the world how much they love the little things in life.
No question that the Gus Arnheim Orchestra had a very nice sound and very jazzy in various spots. What I want to do now is play a couple of recordings of the Gus Arnheim Orchestra without Bing. And first I will play Singing in the Rain. This was recorded on April 28, 1929. The band is Walter Holzhaus on trumpet, Stanley Green on trumpet, also Marlo Imes on trombone, Tom Sandvell and Joe Krechter on clarinet or alto sax. There is an unknown clarinet tenor sax, an unknown violin. Gus Arnheim is at the piano and also the leader. Nelson Hall is on guitar, and there are unknown banjos, brass bass, and drums. And then I want to play from March 30, 1930, Dancing to Save Your Soul. And soul is not S-O-U-L, it's S-O-L-E. And here the band consists of Walter Holzhaus and Stanley Green on trumpet, Marlo Imes and another trombonist, Tom Sandvell, and an unknown clarinet alto sax, Fred McMurray on clarinet tenor sax, Ross Colombo is on violin, there is an unknown second violin, Gus Arnheim on piano, Nelson Hall on banjo guitar, Ed Landy on brass bass, and Art Fleming on drums. There is a vocal by Nelson Hall, Ed Landry, and Art Fleming. And also you can hear tap dancing in the background there, and it is by Evelyn Collier. So let's listen then to the Gus Arnheim Orchestra in 1929 and in 1930.
Da 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 da.
Couple of noticeable features in those two recordings, in the Singing in the Rain, at the very end there is a somewhat Bixian solo, trumpet solo there, and in Dancing to Save Your Soul there is a very nice bass saxophone with a trumpet obbligato behind it. It's not easy to hear the trumpet, so please go back and listen carefully. I think it's a very good combination of the bass sax and the trumpet obbligato. Okay, I want to continue with the two recordings that do not include Bing Crosby, but they have two other vocalists, each very interesting for different reasons. First, I want to play All I Want Is Just One. This is a tune that also Maurice Chevalier recorded around that time. This is from March 30, 1930 by the Gossenheim Orchestra, and the composition of the band is exactly the same as the one I gave for Dancing to Save Your Soul. In fact, the recording dates for those two sides are the same. Here, the vocal is by Fred McMurray. He also plays tenor saxophone. Fred McMurray, of course, later on became very famous in Hollywood as an actor, character actor, star, very good guy. Then I want to play from June 18, 1930, A Pitch of a Pear. The composition of the band is basically the same, except that one of the trombones is omitted, and Bobby Burns on clarinet alto sax replaces the unknown clarinet alto sax. This is has a vocal by Ross Colombo, who at the time was viewed as a competitor of Bing Crosby. It's interesting that they did overlap. Ross Colombo is a permanent member of the band, playing violin also, and Bing coming in specially for vocals. So let's listen then to Gossenheim with Fred McMurray and Ross Colombo on vocals in 1930. Thank you.
have to have one. Girl, I could really use more, even three or four, but one is enough. All I want is just one. Moon, though there only is one. Moon, that is plenty for me, just as long as he is doing his stuff. All I want is just one. Word, that little word, yes. From a certain sweet someone, I'm going to fetch to my heart. All I want is just one kiss, and I have to have one kiss. Yes, all I want is one, all I want is one for a star.
Going to get back to recordings of Gus Arnheim with Bing Crosby, but before I'd like to read a little bit of interesting information from Bing Crosby, A Pocket Full of Dreams, The Early Years, 1903-1940 by Gary Giddens, and page 225. He's talking about a fellow named Leonard Goldstein, who was sort of helping to get Bing to find some gigs. Here it says, Goldstein had first heard Bing and Al when they were with the Morrissey Review. This was before Harry Barris joined them. This is just Bing and Al Rinker. So he says, his twin brother, Bob, this is the twin brother of Goldstein, later a power at Fox, was then manager of Abe Lyman, renowned for leading the orchestra at the Ambassador Hotel's Coconut Grove. Leonard tried in vain to get Lyman to hire the rhythm boys. When Lyman left the Grove in 1926, his pianist, Gus Arnheim, took charge for 3 years. Arnheim, in turn, left for a lengthy tour. During the years the rhythm boys were making their name with Whiteman, he traveled to Europe and enhanced his reputation before returning to the Grove in early 1930. Goldstein knew Arnheim would appreciate what Lyman had declined. The Grove's manager, Abe Frank, agreed to hire the boys at $450 a week, $50 less per man than they had received from Whiteman. Goldstein was not happy, and neither were the boys, but they accepted the offer. Gus Arnheim and arranger Jimmy Grier, a friend and fan of Bing's, were ecstatic. Okay, now there are a couple of recordings that I want to play. This is January 19, 1931. The band is Gus Arnheim and his Coconut Grove Orchestra, Walter Holzhaus and Stanley Green on trumpet, Marlo E. Imes and Billy White on trombone, Tom Sandvall and Joe Kretcher on clarinet alto sax, Fred McMurray on clarinet tenor sax, there is an unknown flute, Sterling Young, Henry Jaworski, and another violin, Gus Arnheim on piano, Nelson Hall on banjo, guitar, P.G. Smearer on brass bass, perhaps Art Fleming on drums. And at the time, Gus Arnheim had several vocalists, Bing Crosby, Samuel Pedraza, Lois Whiteman, and Donald Novis, and Dave Marshall. Anyway, this is then January 19, 1931, I Surrender, Dear, and I'll follow that with the March 2nd, 1931 recording of One More Time. Then let me read what Gary Giddens tells us about I Surrender, Dear. I Surrender, Dear renovated Bing's professional stature on several counts. Barris configured the melody after hearing Bing sing a variation on Lover Come Back to Me, and Gordon Clifford wrote the lyric. From the time Bing introduced it, the song was hugely popular at the Grove and on radio. He was often asked to sing it several times in an evening. The recording is startling, calling attention to itself with an unconventional arrangement that defied dancers with its frequent change-ups in tempo and manner. Grier had written a concert-style orchestration of a popular song, and though the effect superficially resembled Whiteman's more inflated numbers, the result was cogently novel. I think I agree with that. It's really very Whiteman-esque, not just superficially. It begins with an introduction by trombones and strings. It says the verse with 16 bars of foxtrotting strings, followed by jazz trumpet and solo clarinet, and then sets the stage for Bing's entrance with a splendid two-bar ensemble transition. Even his chorus, elaborately supported by the band, has a change-up. He sings the bridge over modified stop-time rhythm. The ensuing instrumental chorus starts with trombone and strings, intimating an Eastern strain, and leads to muted trumpets and responsive violins, a stop-time clarinet, a bridge that suggests a Polish wedding dance, and a finish that combines rigidly marching trombones and a crescendo from which Bing's voice glides for a brief reprise. With Bing wrapping the word dear around a shapely mordant, sculpting dynamics and impeccably articulating every word and pitching a climbing melody that parallels the rising ardor in his voice, or vice versa, the performance is if not his finest to date, then certainly his most paradigmatic. Bing's huskiness is wonderfully captured by the Victor technicians, a perquisite of recording with Arnheim, and his projection is at once forceful and restrained. The success of the record amplified his national reputation and all but buried the Rhythm Boys. For as popular as they were, radio audiences wanted to hear that astonishing singer with a throb in his voice. Not a trio of hepcats. Perhaps the prime indication of Bing's elevated stature was Louis Armstrong's cover of I Surrender, Dear, which Rudy Vallée, in recounting Armstrong's influence on Bing, Ross Colombo, Mildred Bailey, and others, proclaimed a masterpiece. Before the year was out, Louis covered two more Crosby signature tunes, Wrap Your Troubles in Dreams and Stardust, and often paid homage, I'm confessing, to his friend and crooning asides, with crooning asides and telling mordants. Well, let's listen then to I Surrender, Dear, and one more time, Bing Crosby with the Gus Arnheim Coconut Orchestra in 1931.
Costs more than I can pay. Without you, I can't make my way. I surrender, dear. I may seem proud and I may act gay. That's just a pose. I'm not that way. 'Cause deep down in my heart, I say, I surrender, dear. Those little mean things we were doing must have been part of the game, lending a spice to the wooing. Oh, but I don't care who's to blame. When stars appear and shadows fall, then you'll hear my poor heart call to you, my love, my life, my all. I surrender, dear.
baby, one more time. Just one more time. Let me do the things that I used to do. Let me sit down to some tea for two. One more time. Just one more time. You can ball me out, you can call me names, if you let me play those parlor games. One more time. Just one more time. Eating all alone, being all alone's making me lazy. Walking all alone, talking all alone's driving me crazy. One more time. Just one more time. You can spend my dough, you can drink my gin, you can snap the lock if you let me in. One more time.
You notice that very strong bass slapping towards the end of One More Time, and how much the band is swinging there. Okay, well, I'll wind up today's program with a transcript from a radio broadcast from the Coconut Grove, 1931. This is Gus Arnheim and the Coconut Grove Orchestra with Bing Crosby and Lois Whiteman. First, I'll play Out of Nowhere, just Bing, and then What Is It? And that's Bing and Lois, as well as the audience. And finally, a short piece of Sweet and Lovely, the composition by Gus Arnheim, which he then used to begin and end his shows. So, here is a radio broadcast transcription from Coconut Grove in the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles in 1931.
Thank you. Crosby of the Rhythm Boys gave you the chorus in the last selection, Out of Nowhere. Gus Arnheim and his Ambassador Hotel Coconut Grove Orchestra continue.
Nothing else will. What is it? Hey, you know, gorgeous preacher. That's easy to tell. You've got that something that I love so well. What is it? It's cut glass, so I'll give it back. See you at the track. Yes, you say.
What is it?
My money?
What is it?
Present of the Eddie.
Make me want you the way that I do. What is
Maybe.
It?
Wait up here.
What is it?
My clothes?
What is
Charlie
it?
Leaving, form his clothes.
Oh, that gives me a big thrill.
Big thrill.
Like nothing else will. Must be Jack O'Keefe.
Now, it's something you ask.
You're not as good looking.
Sing it, Janet. She's talking about O'Keefe. She's singing to me, but she means O'Keefe. Get in there, O'Keefe.
That I like that.
See two things. What is it? I'm dying to know. Why I love you so, my manager.
Thank you.
me read some more from Gary Giddens' biography of Bing Crosby about the Ambassador Hotel. Here it says in page 226, the Ambassador Hotel, with its private bungalows, intrigued the film crowd from the time it opened on Wilshire Boulevard in 1920. Abe Frank knew that a nightclub on the premises could not miss. Within a year, the main ballroom was transformed into a 1,000-seat coconut grove, complete with prop palm trees and fake monkeys grabbing fake coconuts. By 1930, the style was Hollywood Moroccan. The palms and monkeys were set against white stucco arches, and a red carpet extended from the top of a wide stairway in the hotel lobby all the way to the grove. The Depression could not lay a glove on the place. Limousines crowded the entrance at night. On July 14th at 10 p.m., I think this is July 14th, 1930, Arnheim featured the Rhythm Boys on his two-hour broadcast over KNX, a powerful station that covered the Pacific Coast and reached as far inland as Colorado. By the way, KNX is a CBS affiliate and is now an all-news 24-hour station. Okay, the next night, he officially introduced them to the audience at the Grove, and they were a sensation. Much of young Hollywood had heard the trio at the Montmartre a year before, but the Grove was more established and posh, well known for its star nights and college nights, and as the venue through 1936 for the Academy Awards ceremony. The Grove merged society, royalty, mobsters, and moviedom, a flush following that adored the Rhythm Boys, who appeared nightly and at Saturday teas. We would show off our latest outfits generally on Tuesday nights, which is when the Hollywood crowd of the time gathered regularly at the Coconut Grove, director Mervyn Leroy recalled. We would all have the same table week after week. We went to see and to be seen. So it's not perhaps surprising that there was a little bit of batter going on between Bing and the audience there. They were habitués, people who came there regularly and knew Bing pretty well. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.